Today we're going to continue with our study through the book of Mark, which the English congregation has been going through, with a section out of chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. I'll read it aloud. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him. For he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of this event. And we pray that you would speak to us through your Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, my rock, my Lord, and my Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Today's message is entitled Crowds. Together, we will consider four questions. How do you feel about crowds? Why do crowds form? Why did the crowds follow Jesus in Mark chapter 3? And why do you follow Jesus? A few years ago, Debbie and I went to visit our daughter Hannah in California while she was still in her undergraduate college years. For one day, we invited along some other family friends of ours from California, Danny Matsuda and his sons Drew and Nolan, to join us at Southern California Disneyland. Now here we are, posing with a couple of characters from Disney's Mulan. Now, it was going to be a somewhat crowded day at Disneyland and California Adventure, so I decided to try out a new method for maximizing our time. A Southern California family whose father was a statistician and software programmer and who had been going with his children to Disneyland for decades had developed a special ride scheduling program called RideMax. Started as a small business in his garage. He gave a satisfaction guaranteed, fully refundable offer. Use his program to input your desired days of visit, number and age of guests in your party, desired rides, pace, even meals and naps, and he would be able to schedule it so that you had minimal time standing in crowded lines, waiting for your next ride. I think it costs around $20 to download the subscription for 1 month. So I thought, why not? Maybe I won't have to bear with hours of crowds under the hot sun. And guess what? It worked beautifully. We printed out several schedule scenarios to refer to during the day and set out just before the park opened at 8 a.m. Following the program's tips and insights, we were able to fit in everything we wanted to see in both Disneyland and California Adventure in 1 day. Now, this was not on an empty day. This was a crowded day. We hardly had to stand in crowded lines at all. And we even went back to the motel for a nap in the afternoon. While Debbie and Hannah and I were on our own without the Matsudas on the next day of the 3-day pass we had purchased, we could repeat rides or just take our time to walk around and shop or people watch. The last day of the pass, we ended up giving away to some nice people we saw at the end of the day because we'd seen everything we needed to see. As I said, crowds are not usually my favorite thing, but it does depend on why the crowd forms. Why do crowds form? Why do they come together? When we lived in Wuxi, a 45-minute train ride from Shanghai, Pictured here on a busy shopping day, we learned quickly what real crowds look like. During Chinese New Year, much of the country's workplaces shut down, and the largest temporary migration in human history occurs. Hundreds of millions of Chinese people make their way back to their ancestral family homes for celebrations, meals, and sightseeing. Why do crowds form? Mostly, they seem to form because the individuals want something and are willing to face crowds in order to get it. Relief from the heat, like these hundreds and thousands of people at the shoreline. A shopping bargain, to celebrate with others, to escape from something, to pronounce their allegiance for a cause, to help others, to get to work via the Capitol Beltway in Washington, D.C., to make money, for entertainment like a Super Bowl game, and on and on. By the way, in case any of you is planning on visiting China one day, I'd sincerely advise you to avoid traveling during Chinese New Year. Don't do it. Why did the crowds follow Jesus? Let's look at Mark chapter 3 again. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. The Pharisees and the Herodians were natural enemies, almost as if the United States government and the mafia were to form an alliance. They came into a crowd or group because they wanted together to silence this rabbi, this teacher, Jesus, who overturned their warped view of God. Let's go on. Jesus withdrew with his disciples to the lake, and a large crowd from Galilee followed. When they heard all he was doing, many people came to him from Judea, Jerusalem, Idumea, and the regions across the Jordan and around Tyre and Sidon. This map here shows the scale of the migration. Jesus turns away from confronting the religious leaders for now, choosing the solitude of the Sea of Galilee. But crowds track him down from all around the country. Let's go on. Because of the crowd, he told his disciples to have a small boat ready for him to keep the people from crowding him, for he had healed many, so that those with diseases were pushing forward to touch him. Whenever the evil spirits saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." But he gave them strict orders not to tell who he was. Often, we picture this scene in our minds like something to look something like this. Jesus drifting offshore and a few people listening intently to his teaching. In reality, there were probably thousands of people crowding at the edge of the water, pushing forward like a mob to get what they needed, healing or release from demons which had possessed them. But we need to remember something, that few of these same people would stand with Jesus when the religious mob got their desire to murder Jesus. These onshore crowds wanted something, but not especially what they really needed, which was to join a different type of group for a different kind of reason. Jesus pushes away from the shore not because healing is unimportant or needed for people, but because all physical healing is only temporary. Ultimate healing comes when a crowd forms because of worship. Worship is not about what we can get from God, but gathering before him because of our overflowing hearts, giving love and attention to the one who gives us eternal life. God, as a loving father, does desire to give us, if we have become his adopted children, lavishly good gifts. He longs to bless us in order that we might become holy, that we might reflect more and more the likeness of Jesus as we follow and listen to him. Question 4, why do you follow Jesus? Is Jesus just fire insurance to save you from hell? Or do you recognize him as the only true God, filled with grace and truth, the way, the truth, and the life, in his words? Are you coming to him like the crowds on that long ago shore? Or are you there, standing at the foot of the cross, declaring that he is surely the Son of God? Jesus said this in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter through the narrow gate. Well, we can go to that next slide. Oh, there it is. For wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Crowds may look different in different eras. Today, they follow Twitter feeds, or the latest gadget or advertising campaign, which promises health and wealth and wellness. They follow a charismatic speaker or an idea of their own independence. Yesterday afternoon, Debbie and I had the privilege of going to the Washington Monument and seeing the frigid vista from the four facets of the tip. Then we walked over to the Jefferson Memorial at sunset and saw these words on the rotunda wall. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Rights seem good. They help to rightly divide laws and their expression. They protect people. In this hallowed document, they declare America's independence from England. But the idea underlying this document can go too far. We can become part of a crowd which declares its independence and expectation of rights apart from God's sovereign rule. In reality, the Christian crowd is still a monarchy, not a democracy. We bow in worship before the one true King, and not before our own independence or human constructions of rights. We are called to be slaves to righteousness and the righteous and holy one, Jesus. On the top of the Washington Monument, we saw that at one time there was a cast piece of aluminum on the very tip. At the time, one of the largest cast aluminum pieces in the world. And at one time, you know, if you've lived here in Washington, D.C., you know that the Washington Monument was the tallest building in the world, at least until the Eiffel Tower was built. But it is still the largest freestanding stone structure. On that aluminum capstone were engraved on one facet these words in Latin: Laus Deo, L-A-U-S, meaning praise to God. May that be the truth that overrides all rights. We would praise God and honor God. Close your eyes just for a moment. Imagine Jesus sitting offshore in that boat. Imagine him speaking words of truth to you. Look at his face. Listen to the way he speaks to you personally with tender love. Now open your eyes. Imagine that he beckons you to walk toward him on the narrow path. Maybe, as you step forth onto the water, that will mean that you will walk on water too. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we grasp this truth now through your word. Crowds followed you, but not many understood the narrow path. Many were following for what they could get. Lord, we desire to follow you because of what we can give. Give you honor, give you praise, give you our hearts, our love, our devotion, our disciplines, how we handle our lives, our time, our resources, our reputations, how we steward these things. Lord, thank you that you were not influenced by crowds, that you called us to be part of a different group, the true worshipers of the Lord God. And thank you that you made it possible through your death on the cross and through your rising from the grave. We hold that truth to be self-evident, that you are God. We trust you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.